This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump transition team announcing President-elect Trump has named his campaign communications director, Stephen Chung, to serve in the same role at the White House. In Georgia, opening arguments today in the trial of accused murderer Jose Ibarra. The Venezuelan undocumented migrant is accused of raping and killing University of Georgia nursing student Karen Lake Likely while she was out for jog. ABC's Morgan Norwood has more.
This is not a jury trial. It's what we call a bench trial. So going to be a little bit different. So rather than having your prosecution, your counsel, your defense present evidence to a jury, a panel here, there's going to be fewer formalities with the bench trial because the judge here is the sole fact finder. He knows the law.
Germany's Chancellor Olaf Scholz today in a call with Russia's president, urging Russia to be willing to negotiate with Ukraine. The Kremlin signaled Moscow was open to talks, but also pointed to Putin's proposal that Kyiv should be willing to give up territory and plans to join NATO. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Thursday was Melissa Agard's first day as Dane County Executive. She was sworn in at the Alliant Energy Center on Wednesday. She now leads the fastest-growing county in Wisconsin, and because of that, the county is facing a housing crisis. Agard said affordable housing will be one of her top priorities. When you look at the fastest-growing cities across the state, the top three are in Dane County, Madison, Fitchburg, and Sun Prairie. It's also a major driver of the Wisconsin economy. However, all this growth means needing more resources and more money to keep up services for a bigger population. But like many other municipalities, the funding formula from the state is putting them in a bind. Shared revenue for cities and counties has stayed the same throughout high inflation over the last few years. So even as the county is collecting more taxes from all these new residents, they're not getting enough back to sustain services for the bigger population. Long story short, there are tough problems ahead for Agard as she leads Dane County. She said some of her other top priorities are lowering overdose deaths, increasing mental health resources, and reforming the criminal justice system. Kat Griffith, who lived and worked in Latin America for a number of years, will present Asylum, the Changing Face of Migration, in the community room of the Village of Gays Mills Community Commerce Center. She is currently a Fond du Lac County Board Supervisor and is committed to bipartisanship and respectful dialogue across political differences. The event will be held Sunday. The program will close with a discussion of how to have a better national conversation about immigration. The event is hosted by the Kickapoo Valley Friends Meeting and the Gays Mills Public Library. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Bucks head to Charlotte. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports NBA. The Bucks play the Hornets at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte, North Carolina tomorrow night. Giannis Antetokounmpo was once notorious for missing shots from the free throw line, but Wednesday he was 16 of 17, 94% on the way to 59 points in that overtime win over Detroit, sinking two critical shots to keep the game alive.
I've never been scared to go to the line in my career, even if I miss 10 in 10. I don't think I've ever shied away from contact and the free throw line, even when I airball a shot or whatever. But, you know, once you see the ball go in, now you have a little bit more rhythm.
A busy weekend in Madison for the Badgers. Wisconsin hosting number one ranked Oregon tomorrow night at Camp Randall. Tonight, the men's basketball team against Arizona at the Kohl Center.
Yeah, obviously a lot going on Friday and obviously a big weekend on campus too with Saturday night's football game. But coming off the week we had, I thought we got better as the week progressed.
That's head basketball coach Greg Gard. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Partly cloudy and mild, with temps in the low 50s with a calm wind. We do have patchy fog building in overnight tonight, and we'll be waking up tomorrow to mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures will still reach the low 50s as winds begin to whip and rain rolls in by night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, currently 53 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
Mike Siegel joins us now to make our popcorn pick of the week. Hey, Mike.
When I was a kid in the 70s, there was no Walmart. There was no right. Sears was everything, from our tools to all our back-to-school clothes, everything else.
Right? Pants, stereos, kitchen appliances. Do you have pantyhose? Yeah, they're right next to power tools on second floor. It's like you really could get everything there.
Everything.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, will join me talking about Juan Merchan delaying his decision. Plus, we will review Trump's cabinet picks, Kennedy and Gates. Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh. Along with Aaron Zomers on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 1 o'clock. Welcome into hour number 2 of the big program. It is Friday, TGIF, November 15th, 2024. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite. Welcome into hour number 2. Have a board game of the week a little bit later on. A little bit more politics here and there. But right now, time to talk some sports. Let's get right to it. Our great sports reporter here at Civic Media, Mr. Mike Clemens, joins us via phone. Mike, thanks for taking time. I know you have a busy schedule. Let's get right into it. Your main beat, the Green Bay Packers. We were up there with you a couple of weeks ago before that game against Detroit. Trigvy and I stood out in the rain with some others. Great seats, great time. But boy, Mike Clemens, the Packers offense, I hope to God they've gotten some things straightened out before they go down to Chicago and take on the Bears on Sunday.
Yeah, so it's something that LaFleur has tried to address this week. Because to me, now, you know, you lose to perhaps the best team in the NFC, the Lions, in the rain. And, of course, you know, the Lions could come out of that and Jared Goff telling everybody, yeah, we're not a dome team, okay? We could play in any kind of weather. Dan Campbell telling everybody that as well. You know, and you had some drop passes. Like you try to throw one to this backup running back, Chris Brooks, down there in the red zone. He drops it. We talked to Adam Stanovich, Packers offense coordinator. Like, what's, you know, you guys are like ranked in the top 10 in terms of overall offense, explosive gains. But you get down in the red zone and he goes, yeah, it's penalties. It's missed assignments. You know, and even like LaFleur said yesterday, if you're 3rd and 7 in the red zone, you start having problems. And so even if it's just a 5-yard penalty, somebody jumps off sides or something. The next question is Jordan Love. Well, for the first time now, perhaps all season, he was a full participation in Wednesday's practice. So that time from the bye with the latest injury, the groin injury, and then, of course, the knee that he suffered at the end of week one against the Eagles that cost him a couple of games, and Malik Willis coming in, he's probably feeling better, so maybe he can set, plant, and throw footballs, you know, a little bit better. But here's the other thing. I asked LaFleur yesterday, because I, you know, had a week and a half to think about it. Like, you know, when teams come out of byes, good or bad, don't they, it seems like they come out a little flat. I hate to use the word rusty. But it's like they're just not quite back up to that level they've got to be, even though their bodies were beat up after 10, 11 weeks. And he said, you know what? He said, we just got done having the best two practices maybe of the year. And we talked to Jeff Hafley, the defensive coordinator. He said, you know what? He says, LaFleur changed the plan. Usually this time of year, whether you're high school, college, or pro football, practice is all scripted. You know, the defensive coordinator says, yeah, play number 13. Okay, we're going to run a screen. So how about you give me base defense, something like that. Everybody, all the coaches know what they're going to call, what defense is going to get the offense. They hold up cards. They take a look at it that way. And LaFleur threw that out the window and said, we're going to call it good on good. The ones are against the ones. Mm-hmm. And the offensive coordinator, Stenovich, is going to call plays. And the defense, you know, Halfley is going to have to guess what they're going to do with the situation. And we're going to have a little football out here. Well, they had two great practices. And Halfley said it was great. I mean, my guys look like they're game ready.
Well, that's good to hear. I know, Mike, that, you know, guys like you interview and talk to, they don't think this way. So I'll represent the average fan for just a second, get your take on this. You know, for a lot of us sitting in the stands, not so much me, but people around me, I guess a little bit me, there was the thought of, was it the smartest move given Jordan Love not being 100% with that groin injury? Would it have made more sense to have Malik Willison there and then get, you know, that extra rest for Love? Is that even is that even talked about? I mean, I know the Packers got to move on, but was that ever talked about?
Listen, man, I think fan questions are sometimes the best. That ends up being a facepalm moment for me. Mm-hmm. You're like, man, that's really a basic question. Why not? Why not ask that? Mm-hmm. Well, of course, I can't help but wonder how much pressure there is on a franchise that it's like, we just paid this guy $250 million.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Right. I get
he
it.
Is our number one. Yeah. You know, there's a reason that he went in the first round, you know, in the draft and all those kinds of things. And then we have to work our tails off to put together a game plan for Malik Willis. You don't show up with, you know, your backup quarterback against the hottest team in your conference right now. So those right. are the things that they have to tell themselves to put themselves, you know, so they can sleep at night. And yet, I don't know, you know, the way it's raining and it's a mutter, you know, why don't you – that maybe that would have – and that would have been a tougher game for Aaron Glenn and the Lions defense to prepare for because you don't know what they're going to run right. with Willis out there, quarterback.
I mean, on a night when the University of Wisconsin marching band seemed to have better footing than the Packers offensive line, I don't know. I mean, that's just up for consideration.
Yeah, and the band had a better rhythm, too.
Right, exactly. Want to be respectful of your time, Matt. Give us a minute on – or good Lord, Mike, on each of these first of all, Wisconsin takes on number 9 ranked Arizona in college basketball tonight at the Kohl Center. And then in football, number 1 ranked Oregon at Camp Randall tomorrow night. Give us a take on both Badger basketball tonight against Arizona and then tomorrow against number 1 ranked Oregon at Camp Randall.
Well, tonight's going to be a cool night at the Kohl Center because Bo Ryan, recently inducted into the Hall of Fame, is going to be there. They're going to raise his name up on a banner. The team from 2014, 2015 that went to the Final Four, some of those guys will be there. But, you know, Greg Gardner's like, oh, great, thanks. You know, you guys do this on the night. We've got number 9th ranked Arizona coming
right.
here. All these big dudes. So, you know, hey, thanks a lot. But, you know, I was looking this up. Greg Gardner's actually beat top 10 teams in the time that he's been a head coach about a half dozen times. So we'll see if they're up to the task. Then tomorrow night, you know, I mean, Luke Fickell, he came close against number 3 ranked Penn State through 3.5 quarters. Then they get blown out. I just run over by the Hawkeyes, 42-10, and they go into their bye. And then the weekend of their bye, he gets a phone call. Yeah, your consultant, NFL head coach Jack Del Rio, drunk driving, you know, ran through a fence. Matter of fact, a buddy called me. He said, hey, that was my son that was the arresting officer.
Like, wow.
You're kidding me.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know what? Luke Fickell spent his whole last weekend with this crisis, having to, you know, let go this consultant to their team. And now they've got to take on the number 1 ranked team tomorrow night at 6:30, you know, on NBC and on many of our civic media stations across the state.
Yeah, I hope they can pull it out. They can get the upset. I'm just afraid if they lose this one, I worry about them going to Nebraska, and then you're down to having to win the Axe just to be bowl eligible again. So we'll see.
Just if they find an identity. And, you know, it was about a month ago after one of the games, you know, Luke Fickell said, you know what, we got to stop running 4 or 5 running backs. We've got to decide on 1 or maybe 2. And that's when they went with Tyree Walker, and that's when they started stringing some wins together.
Yeah. We shall see. Mike Clemens, our sports reporter at Civic Media. Appreciate you taking the time, my friend. We'll see you down the road soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Yep, my pleasure. Mike Clemens here, our sports reporter. Lots of questions to get to. Your phone calls as well. Talk about any of these. How about we start with the Packers, though? Because instead of doing a what's worse today, I thought this would be fun. Got this from PackerNews.com. The NFC North has turned into one of the best divisions in the NFL. The Green Bay Packers are in the division, of course, with the Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, and Chicago Bears. And there is no love lost between the teams. But how do fans feel? PackerNews.com asked readers which NFC North team they disliked the most, the Lions, the Vikings, or Bears. Had 1,100 responses. So I ask you, our listening audience, the question of the day. Which of the NFC North rivals do you dislike the most? The Lions, the Vikings, or the Bears? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. I guess we could put it in context. Who's worst? Which of the rivals do you like the least or the most? The Lions, the Vikings, or the Bears? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You could also text us on the Civic Media app. Download it from your app store today. Either Apple or Android device. It's free, takes less than a minute. It's what Gayle King calls a deal, the Civic Media app. Which of the Packers' NFC rivals, the North rivals, do you dislike the most? The Lions, the Vikings, or the Bears?
Dave in New Berlin texts in saying, the Bears.
The Bears. Very good. Dave in New Berlin. We have one fan, one vote for the Bears.
One hate vote for the Bears.
I'm not sure we say hate, but you just dislike them. Which one do you, when you see it on the schedule, like, oh, geez. If they've just beat that team, I'll be happy. I mean, for me, with the Badgers, it's the Minnesota Flexsters, the Minnesota Golden Gophers, especially ever since P.J. Fleck came to town up there in Minnesota. Can't stand the Gophers. Maybe because I can't stand the coach, more so. But the question is, of the Green Bay Packers NFC North rivals, which one do you like the most? The Detroit Lions?
Which one do you dislike the most?
I'm sorry, this, yes, thank you. Dislike the most. The Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, or Chicago Bears? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Cindy in Appleton. Cindy, which one do you dislike the most?
I really don't dislike any of them because you take off their uniforms and they're all just people.
Well, okay, that's a nice way to put it. But is it, as a sports fan, just watching it, isn't there one of the teams that you're like, ah, those people just really, oh, man. Or do you just...
I just go with the flow.
All right, let's
see. It depends kind of, too, if one of those teams is playing somebody else we dislike even more, then all of a sudden our tune changes, right?
Right. That's very true. Now, actually, that's interesting you say that. Because on this survey by PackerNews.com, one of the categories is depends on who's winning at the moment. And 72 people responded to that. 5% of the people said, Cindy, exactly what you did, or a variation thereof. Thanks, Cindy. I appreciate it. Of the Green Bay Packers NFC North rivals, which one do you dislike the most? The Detroit Lions, the Minnesota Vikings, or the Chicago Bears? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Michaela in West Bend, listening on WAUK, says the Bears are the worst. Their fans are awful and have no reason to be. Wow, that's
I could say the same thing about their team. Their team is awful and has no reason to be with how much money Chicago has.
They haven't been great. Also, Matt in Middleton says the Bears, those folks from Illinois, are always invading our parks. And then a listener on WMDX says the Vikings. Come on back. Talk a little more sports. Board Game of the Week straight ahead. It's the Todd Allball Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Tom, your thoughts.
I don't believe that people don't know who Trump is at this point, and they have willfully decided to ignore everything he has said in order to vote what they think is the most important thing. And that's what voting is all about. But you can't claim ignorance when it comes time that Trump is going to pull the trigger and do some things that are going to hurt you and your family. That's what's probably going to happen.
Yeah.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stuart J. Waddles. I've been into like pistachios. Now they sell them shelled. That's probably my favorite movie snack for when I'm at home.
Are you getting paid by Big Nut? I don't know of anybody that has pistachios during a movie.
Listen, I would love to be paid by Big Nut. I could do cough drops during movies if people would pay me.
Yeah, let's redirect here because this could go bad.
Yeah, this guy, I think it already has.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
How many times must we take this disgrace? Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game. Even if from time to time they've been a little lame.
Welcome back to the Tom Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 past the hour of 1 o'clock on Friday, November 15th. Glad to have you along on the Civic Media Radio Network. Asking the all-important question on this Friday. Of the Green Bay Packers NFC North rivals, which one do you dislike the most? Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, or Da Bears? 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. You can also text us on the Civic Media app. The votes on the app have been coming in fast and furious. Catch you up here. A listener on WMDX here in Madison says the Vikings. The Vikings are the fan or the team that he dislikes the most. Also, Chris listening in Waterloo via WMDX says the Vikings because I lived in Hudson for 10 years. Hated the dome, hated the horn, hated Chris Carter, Christopher from the Lou. I actually like that one a lot. I like that. I never heard Waterloo called the Lou, but it makes sense, right? Here's a caller, Corey in Madison. New caller, we appreciate it. New listener, thanks for listening in. He says, this was not on my bingo card. He says, I dislike the Packers the most. Power to the purple. So there you go. Look, and that's fine. Everybody's got an opinion. Jill, listening via WMDX in Madison, says the Vikings are the number one fan or team that she dislikes the most, followed by the Lions. Second, says I feel sorry for the Bears and their fan base because they're so pathetic. That's actually a really good take.
That's kind of how where I'm at. Is where I don't dislike the Lions at all personally. Mm. I do dislike the Vikings, and there's the whole, you know, stealing our quarterbacks thing, which is annoying. But the Bears, I'm split between feeling sorry for them and just like, well, they're nothing. They don't need me to not like them because they basically don't exist. But also, Chicago sports teams have so much money dumped into them, and they're still garbage. So I kind of hate them because of they're just a waste of money.
I think it also depends maybe a little bit of the age of the fan that you asked. Because when I was growing up, you know, you still had Walter Payton around. You had the 85 Super Bowl winning Bears, Refrigerator Perry. I mean, the Bears used to really be something. And it used to be a true rivalry. Like the Bears would beat the Packers would beat the Bears, go back and forth. But boy, you know, pretty much since Aaron Rodgers became quarterback, and even the later in the years of the Favre era, with a rare exception here and there, the Packers have pretty much owned the Chicago Bears. So it really, to the point, really hasn't become, in order to have a rivalry, you have to go back and forth. As much as I hate to admit it, that's part of what has really fueled the Axe rivalry, the Axe game with Wisconsin and Minnesota in college football, is because Fleck has finally beaten but since Fleck became the coach of Minnesota, it's probably pretty close. I bet Wisconsin maybe won one or two more, but it's probably about 50-50. And that makes it a rivalry. In fact, I'm trying to remember the last time the Bears beat the Packers. So I think that makes a difference as well. Green Bay Packer fans weighing in, NFC North rivals, which one do you dislike the most? Detroit Lions, Minnesota Vikings, or Chicago Bears? 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842, or text us on the Civic Media app. Todd from Oshkosh on WISS says the
Chinnesota Lions.
Chinnesota Lions.
I'll count that as a vote for all three. It's Chicago, Minnesota, right, and then Lions.
The
so
Chinnesota
all
Lions. All right. He hates all three. Keep calling in, by the way. Text it in. Which of the teams do you hate the most or dislike the most? According to PackersNews.com, I sound like on Family Feud, you know. Top five answers on the board. 1,163 people were asked or surveyed. Top four answers on the board. Who do you dislike the most? Number four, depends on who's winning at the moment. 72 people said that. 5% of the vote. Number three, Lions. 82 people, or 8%, picked the Detroit Lions. Number two, Chicago Bears. 395 votes, or 34% of the overall vote. Number one, Vikings. 614 people, or 53%, said they hate the Minnesota Vikings or dislike the Minnesota Vikings the most of the NFC North rivals. I'd agree with that. The Vikings, just because they're closer and they have won some of the games, it's more of an actual rivalry now. And like you said before, I don't know. I guess Detroit, they're the furthest removed, and they had a longer losing streak, so it's like you don't hate them for being successful now. Let's go to the phone lines. Terry, listening on Bull Falls Radio, WXCO in Wausau. Terry, which of the NFC North rivals do you dislike the most?
Well, I've sneaked in under the radar. The Packers, because okay. I'm a Vikings fan.
Even in Wausau, you're closer to Green Bay than you. Did you grow up a Viking fan?
I was born and raised in Minnesota. I lived there for 40 years.
Well, there you go.
Before I moved to north central Wisconsin 29 years ago, so you know how old I am now. But you can take the boy out of Minnesota, but you can't take the Minnesota out of the boy.
Well, I don't blame you. I don't blame you for that. Do you ever get razzed around town in Wausau for wearing Vikings?
Well, my brother-in-law and I have quite a rivalry going.
Well, hey, look, it's in your blood. I can't fault you for that. You're just being loyal to the team you grew up with. So, you know, God love you.
This is true.
All right. Thanks. We appreciate your listenership, Terry, up there in beautiful Wausau, Wisconsin. Someone listening on WCFW in Eau Claire says, who cares? When does spring training start? Glad you asked. We may be getting to the Brewers release some of their spring training. Going to move up the game times a little bit into about 6:40 instead of 7:10 for some of those games next year. Pitchers and catchers report in February, by the way. Oscar, listening in Madison on WMDX, says the Bears are the team he dislikes the most. And Roger and Stevens Point, did you hear about the Vikings fan who threw a stick of dynamite at the Packer fan across the Mississippi? The Packer fan lit it and threw it back. Roger and Point, listening on WFHR. Stay tuned. More on the other side. Little Charlie Barron's for you on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The 97th National FFA Convention and Expo, held last month in Indianapolis, featured many activities and events. One of the events featured was a speaking competition. Richland Center FFA alumnus Simone Sirian earned the honor to speak at the national convention.
I have done speaking events in the past. The one that I went to nationals for this year is a little bit different, a little bit more challenging than the other ones. So this one revolves around agricultural topics. So what happens is you go to the competition and you grab three topics. They're all agricultural based. And then from those three topics, you pick one, and then you get 30 minutes to write a 5 to 6 minute speech, depending on what you grab for that topic. And then you have 5 minutes of questioning from the judges. So how that goes is you have your districts, and then you have your sectionals, and then you have state, and then the state winner moves on to nationals.
The competition featured many high school FFA members from around the country. Simone graduated from Richland Center High School in May, but qualified to advance to national competition when she was still a senior. Simone did not advance as far as she hoped she would, but did very well in the national competition by placing in one of the rounds.
Personally, I thought I could have done better, but in the grand scheme of things, I did place in the top half of the competitors. I won silver. So the way it goes is they break the states up into preliminary rounds. And then you compete in your preliminary, and then if you are in the first or second, you move on to the second round, which is considered the semifinals. Unfortunately, I did not move on to semifinals, but I did place third in my preliminary round, which allowed me to acquire that silver medal.
Congratulations to Simone Sirian on a job well done at the FFA National Convention, and best of luck in your college career. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba, who's up for a good old-fashioned boxing match. Jake Paul and Mike Tyson square off this weekend. Paul took to his social media platforms to troll Tyson by wearing diamond-spiked ear covers to get under the former champ's skin. The dig is from when Tyson bit Evander Holyfield's ear years ago. Not allowed in boxing. Paul is the odds-on favorite to win the fight. According to odds makers, Paul is the odds-on favorite due to the fact that Tyson hasn't fought in 19 years, has been near death due to illness more than once, and is more than twice Paul's age. Come on, Iron Mike. Sometimes people struggle after they retire. This appears to be the case for actress Cameron Diaz, who is ending her 11-year hiatus from show business. Diaz has been cast opposite Jamie Foxx in the Netflix spy movie called Back in Action, a comedy thriller. The duo previously starred together in the film Annie. Back in Action drops January 17th on Netflix. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy and mild, with temps in the low 50s with a calm wind. We do have patchy fog building in overnight tonight, and we'll be waking up tomorrow to mostly cloudy skies. High temperatures will still reach the low 50s as winds begin to whip, and rain rolls in by night. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Right now, it's 54.
Matt and Air on Air.
And we are here with Matt Randolph, Mr. Global. Donald Trump now will be coming in for a second term. There has been talk of removing sanctions from Russia. What would that mean, Matt, for the oil and gas industry?
So it depends on what Russia does, but we've seen nothing to suggest that they want to have anything to do with lowering oil prices.
And so the prices are essentially going to stay the same?
In all likelihood, yes.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
John Legend, ladies and gentlemen. John, you and I have something in common because your last name is Legend and you're an actual legend. And my last name is Schwabba and I'm an actual Schwabba. So there you go.
No, what is a Schwabba? You have to explain.
I'm a work in progress, but as soon as I figure it out, I'll let you know.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Ingram.
On the next show, it's Motown Monday, and we'll dive deep into why certain groups voted for Donald Trump and the direction of the future of our nation.
The Earl Ingram Show. Weekday mornings 8 till 10.
I want to bang on your drum all day. I go
Harbaugh Show, 34 minutes past the hour of 1 o'clock on Friday, November 15th. Packers, big rivalry game, Chicago Bears. 10 o'clock broadcast start time on Sunday, November 17th. You can hear it on WRCO-FM in Richland Center, WCQM-FM in Park Falls, WRJN on the FM side, and AM in Racine, and Kenosha on the FM side. We cannot stream that due to, here's what happens. If we tried to stream the Packer game on the Civic Media app, they send an offensive line after us. The league, the NFL, does not take kindly to that. So, unfortunately, we cannot stream that game on the Civic Media app. You can listen to it, as I said, on these select stations, Green Bay at Chicago. 10 a.m. broadcast start time with a pregame show on the Packers radio network. Charlie Behrens, you can hear the Cripes Cast every Saturday afternoon. What is it, Sommers? 1 o'clock?
Cripes Cast is at noon.
Not noon. High noon.
Noon to one.
A nooner with Charlie Behrens. Who wouldn't like that?
This weekend, it is with a comedian known as the Entitled Housewife. Let me just remember.
The Entitled Housewife, a comedian. Very good.
Yes. Basically, she has made a she has a lot of different personas, and one that she focuses on is the Entitled Housewife, and she goes golfing and talks about her country club and whatever and her lazy ex-husband. You know, like it's a stereotype that she uses to make jokes, and they have a conversation between that character and Charlie Behrens as, like, you know, just a Midwest guy.
Got it. All right, very good. Well, that'll be fantastic. But you follow this other clip of him where he does a – this is a sketch, I take it, correct?
Yeah, this is a sketch with Andrew Raffi, somebody – another comedian who is touring with Charlie Behrens, where a Bears pack – or a Bears fan walks into a Packers bar.
All right, a Bears fan walks into a Packers bar. Here it is, a little clip from Charlie Behrens.
Oh, there he is. Can't believe you haven't burned that shirt yet.
I tried, but it was drenched in tears.
What are we drinking?
I'll do an old-fashioned.
Bourbon or brandy?
Let's go with antifreeze.
Single or double? Doink.
Single.
Do you actually think you're going to win another game this year?
I'm praying for an earthquake in San Francisco so we can call it a tie.
That was dark. I think you should go over to the end of the bar and confess that to Father Tom.
I'm Jewish.
So not the first Hail Mary you missed.
Clever. Hey, which backup QB are you starting this week?
Doesn't matter, because LaFleur is French for quarterback whisper.
I thought it meant lack Super Bowls.
Your Super Bowl's older than the vomit stains on the pool table.
If you think you have a shot at the playoffs, you're higher than a Delta 8 billboard.
Where do you think Caleb Williams will be in 3 years? Uber or Lyft? Oh,
the Vikings just called. They said thanks for Aaron Jones.
I hear Chicago might spend billions of dollars on a dome stadium. That's a great strategy. Protect your fans, then your quarterback.
I can't believe I almost returned your shot back.
You still have that? Do you really need more help sucking?
I don't have to listen to this. I'm out of here.
No, come on. Dude, you've been through enough this year. I am sorry.
Are you actually sorry? Or do you just want to fish at my place in Lake Geneva?
Yes?
Charlie Behrens, a Packers fan, or pardon me, a Bears fan, walk into a Packers bar. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny.
The insults flying fast and furious. I'm sure there'll be a lot of that. Again, the Packers playing at noon. Pre-game show gets underway at 10 o'clock on some of our Civic Media stations. Closer to home tonight, the Wisconsin Badger men's basketball team, who's been saying taking on number 9 or 10, depending upon which poll you look at. The Arizona Wildcats come to town. And of course, the Badgers beat them twice in that 13-14 and 14-15 run to both Final Fours. Broadcast tonight gets underway at 7 p.m. Tip-off thereafter. Big game for Wisconsin just as a current team and Greg Gard, the current coach, but also big for that 13-14, 14-15, try that again, Todd, 13-14, 14-15 team that went to the Final Four. Many of the players will be there. Unfortunately, Sam Decker is in a European League plane. He will not be there. But Mike Lucas, great columnist, of course, was part of the Badger Radio Network for some very many years with Matt LaPay, still writing for the Capital Times, wrote a great story today. Would encourage you to go to thecapitaltimes.com and check it out. Says how Bo Ryan's own dream team found Final Four success. I want to read you just a little bit of this. And of course, heavy credit, all the credit goes to Mike Lucas. He's just a great writer, a great Badger historian. And would invite you to call in if you have memories of that 14-15 era or of Coach Ryan, who was inducted earlier this year into the to the National College Basketball Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. Says, on the day of his commitment to the University of Wisconsin basketball program, Sam Decker sat next to Bo Ryan's office and mapped out his expectations to a veteran old-school coach. Quote, literally the first thing I said was, I want to bring Wisconsin to a Final Four, Decker recounted. I guess I was naive at the time. I was just a kid saying that, right? But I truly believed it. I didn't know Frank Kaminsky. I didn't know Nigel Hayes-Davis existed. I didn't know Josh Gasser personally. I didn't know any of these people, he said. Kaminsky, Hayes, Davis, and Gasser would all become UW teammates of Decker, a prep All-American and five-star prospect out of Sheboygan Lutheran High School. Quote, but it's kind of like the domino effect when you get that kind of belief, Decker went on to say. It was kind of a brazen attitude at times, myself included. Brazen as in bold, bold enough as in a group to dream big and outside the box. As the 2012 Gatorade Player of the Year in the state, Decker admitted to being, quote, unapologetic about saying things that went against the grain of Wisconsin basketball. For example, he noted, quote, there was a time when I called out the team to the media and coach didn't like that, but we needed our personalities, unquote. There were growing pains, to be sure, but Decker was candid about what he believed could happen here. And what it would take, even if it meant ruffling feathers. And he was not alone. Ryan remembered the conversation with Decker in his office. Quote, I said to Sam, if we could keep the best players in the state and mix in guys at other positions, we'd have a chance to do something really special, Ryan recalled. Coach Ryan said he was the kind of young man who understood special, coming off his exploits in high school. I felt we could do something special as long as everyone stayed committed, and you know they did, unquote. Tonight will be special at the Kohl Center, a turn back the clock moment. Not only will the Badgers take on Arizona, ranked number 9 or 10, depending upon the source, but returning players from Wisconsin's back-to-back Final Four trips in 14 and 2015 will be recognized at a pregame ceremony. At halftime, a banner will be raised to the rafters in honor of the 76-year-old Ryan, who coached those teams and was enshrined into the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame in October. Emotions. Let's see, Coach Ryan said. I have a lot of memories just thinking about some of those guys and where they are now. Some of them are still playing. Others are gainfully employed. It's a small part of your lifeline for those 4 years as a player. For a coach, as long as you're getting the job done, you get to stay around for a while. So you see different groups come through. Ryan said, when I go back and look at some of those films, I throw games on and I'll see the way they moved and the way they read each other and how they played off of each other. Really, that 14-15 team, which of course lost to Duke in the NCAA finals, Ryan said, I can honestly say they were one of the smartest teams that I think ever competed in the Big Ten, unquote. Part of the story from Mike Lucas in today's Capital Times or CapTimes.com. Would encourage you, if you're a Badger fan, if you're a Coach Ryan fan, to go look at this story. It is so well written and lots of memories from Sam Decker, who will, as I said, unfortunately not be there tonight. He is playing in, I believe, a Spanish league now overseas. As a longtime fan of Coach Ryan and a longtime fan of Badger basketball, those 2 years were amazingly special as a fan. And to watch both of those, well, the Final Four games. And remember, in the 14-15 year, that's when Kentucky was 38-0. Everybody had crowned Kentucky the assumed national champion. John Calipari, head coach. No way they were going to go not undefeated. They were going to go undefeated and win the national championship. And, of course, it was Kentucky who had knocked out Wisconsin the year before. and 13-14. And you might think the guys in the Wisconsin team were thinking, you know, oh, geez, I hope we don't have to face Kentucky again until they wanted Kentucky. Afterwards, Frank Kaminsky, Sam Decker, Nigel Hayes Davis, they all said they wanted Kentucky. They were not afraid of them. They wanted Kentucky because they wanted to prove themselves, and they did. Kentucky that year ended up going 38-1. The one loss to the Wisconsin Badgers in the semifinals of the Final Four. Went out of place, Mike Krzyzewski, Coach K, in the final of the championship game. And the Badgers were ahead with 13 minutes to go, had a 9 or 10 point lead. And a lot of us, myself included, a lot of the fans still are kind of salty at the officials. The officiating, I just don't think it can be debated. The officials decided to call a tighter game in the second half. A lot of people, including myself, attribute that to Mike Krzyzewski giving the refs an earful and his standing in college basketball at the time. But later, both Sam Decker and Frank Kaminsky and Bo Ryan said, no, that we did play different in the second half. That for most of the game, we were the better team. But there was about a 6-7 minute run where Kentucky really took it to us. Pardon me, Duke took it to us. And so they don't blame the officials. They take the responsibility. But growing up when I did, and to even, you know, Dick Bennett got Wisconsin to the Final Four in 2000. And that was an amazing accomplishment. And take nothing away from Coach Bennett and those players that got them there in 2000. But it was kind of a Cinderella story, and a great one at that, don't get me wrong. But then Coach Ryan took over after Dick Bennett retired, and they didn't retain the assistant coach at the time. And by the time you got to the 14-15 year, it was expected that Wisconsin would compete for a national championship. They were the number one overall seed of the tournament. And as we've talked so many times in this program, in an era when we are divided by so much politically, it's just refreshing, at least for me, to have something that you can talk about with your friends and family and rally around. That you can sit in a stadium like the Kohl Center, an arena, and wear red and white and cheer for a team no matter what your politics are. It feels really good. So I wish the Wisconsin Badgers well tonight against Arizona. Believe me, I'm a little nervous about this game. Wisconsin is a younger team. The first kind of team of the NIL era, the true NIL era, the open season for Coach Greg Gard. We'll see what happens tonight. I'm probably even more, and by the way, congratulations to Coach Ryan. An amazing run as a coach, most successful Wisconsin Badger coach record-wise in modern history. 2 Final Fours, countless Big Ten championships, and just an amazing person in terms of how he treated me over the years. Owe him a lot. Coach Ryan, congratulations on your induction into the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. I'm more nervous about Oregon at Wisconsin football on Saturday. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Badgers and Coach Fickell knock off the undefeated Oregon Ducks. I hope the students safely storm the field, knock off the number one team in the country. I have a feeling the student section will be cleared out after Jump Around.
Yeah.
I don't feel good about this game.
I don't either.
With Wisconsin. But I hope I'm wrong. I hope I am wrong. So there you go. Big sports weekend again tonight across many of our stations. Broadcast time, 7 p.m. Wisconsin taking on Arizona. Tomorrow it's a night game. 4:30 pregame show. Wisconsin hosts Oregon for football. And on Sunday, 10 o'clock broadcast time, Green Bay Packers take on the Chicago Bears. Come on back. A board game of the week. We'll wrap it up right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
This is the story of the one who, as a maintenance specialist for a historic high-rise, knows that vintage charm historically needs constant attention.
Which is why, when it's time to upgrade turn-of-the-century mechanicals, they turn to Grainger. With easy access to a million-plus products and the scale to deliver when and where you need them, the right tools and supplies are never far away. So the one can keep that vintage building running like new. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Tallaball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is now 9 before the hour of 2 o'clock at the top of the hour. ABC or CBS News Radio, depending upon which station you are listening to, across Civic Media's network here in the state of Wisconsin and around the world. And then a little sports for you with our very own sports reporter, Mike Clemens. Again, many thanks to Mike for stopping by the show today. He's a busy man, busy schedule. We always appreciate his insight and his take, Mr. Mike Clemens, for coming on the show. Coming up on Monday, Reed Galen from, of course, the president of the union, who he traveled with across Wisconsin there a week before the election. He will be back on the show, Reed Galen, on Monday. His thoughts and takes post-election. What are his thoughts taken away from the election? And also, how does Reed see things going forward? And what does the union do now? Reed Galen will be in at 12:30 on Monday's show. It is 8 before the hour of... Maggie Dawn. Maggie Dawn, then after the sports and weather update, Maggie Dawn every afternoon from 2 until 4, followed by the Italian Stallion, Dominic Salvia, from 4 until 6. Mr. Pete Schwabba with that light from 6 until 8. And then it's Rick Smith across America, followed by the wonderful and talented Robert Pilot with Native Roots Radio. And then a brand new feature here at Civic Media, the Price is Right Nighttime Edition. I'm excited about that. So
what?
I'm not even sure what that means. Time now for Board Game of the Week.
We've made it to Friday. It's time once again for a Board Game of the Week.
Here we are, Mr. Zomers. Once again, we have arrived at Friday. People are looking to relax. People are looking to have some fun with family, friends, maybe just a stranger. What would you play?
Well, one game that we can talk about. I've talked about some games before that use a similar concept where there's a lot of restaurants in Japan and around here where you can get sushi and it's a conveyor belt and you just grab what you want to eat and then pay for it. And there's a lot of games based on that.
Really?
Okay. Sushi Go is one we've talked about before, where you draft cards to complete sets of your different kinds of sushi. Well, Sushi Roll is this week's Board Game of the Week, made by the same people. Really? It's another variation on that idea.
How does your sushi roll?
Well, you can find out for the low, low price of $25.
$25 for the game.
Yeah. So the difference between this and Sushi Go is mainly that this one uses dice. So if you are somebody who prefers to have a lot of tactile pieces in your games and things to fidget with, this might be a better way to go.
All right.
Also, so the gameplay consists of you roll the dice. They're in the middle. They're on the conveyor belt. Each person picks the dice they want, and you go around in a circle until you get whatever sets you're trying to complete and get your points for it. The biggest upside this might have over Sushi Go is if you play with a lot of people who don't pay attention very well and you don't want to have to sit there and be like, all right, did you take your card? Did you take a card and then pass the rest? Because you have to do things at the same time in that. It can be confusing if people aren't used to playing games. But in Sushi Roll, everybody's picking dice on their own turn instead of simultaneously.
I see.
So it's easier to keep people in the loop if they don't really have a good attention span.
So this is better. We're saying if you want to have a conversation or more relaxed gaming, this might be the one for you.
Yeah, I would say so.
All right. Because sometimes we sort of, you're right. I mean, people are just kind of talking like, hey, it's your turn. People aren't paying attention. This one's not. Some of them you have to really pay attention.
Right. And none of the Sushi series of games are that complicated. But if you have trouble with even games you might think of as simple, that's fine. You know, people have different attention spans, but this game might be for you.
I was not always the best student in school. Although I learned a lot, but I was not always the best student. But one of the things I do remember the most, I learned the most, was from my social studies teacher, Ken Lewis, who once told me, remember, you're never so poor that you can't pay attention.
I love that. I love
so you that have you don't have to. And this is one of the, you could be poor enough where you can't even pay attention for this one. And you could still play.
You could still play.
All right. Go ahead. Didn't mean to stop the train of thought.
Yep. Sushi Roll, 2 to 5 players, though I recommend having at least 3. Takes about 20 minutes to play. It's really easy to pick up. And it's about $25. You should be able to find it at a local board game store. Otherwise, it is on Amazon, too.
All right. There you go. Sushi Roll, your board game of the week. I think I have an aversion to it already because people that know me, I've tried really. I'm not a big sushi guy. Like I like
fair enough.
I like tempura shrimp, but that isn't really sushi.
I was really, I guess.
Are you a sushi guy?
Yes,
really?
I was really, you know, dubious of it at first. Like you know, eating raw food or raw fish, but then I tried it and I just found it really good. I think. If you get bad sushi, it's not also good.
Like my sister tells me, and my brother-in-law, and you don't get the seaweed wrap or whatever. You get the other stuff. I don't know.
Oh, I like seaweed.
Ugh.
But I understand why people wouldn't because of the texture. But something about it, it's probably the salt that's in seaweed.
I don't know.
I love salt.
It's a lot. No, I like salt. It ain't the salt. It's just
the texture, and it gets stuck in your teeth.
It's something, all right. It's something. There are just times in your life where you try something and you say, that ain't for me.
And that's fair. I thought that would be me, but I ended up liking sushi.
That reminds me of my college days. But anyway, we've arrived at the end of the show, Mr. Sommers. As Craig Fergus liked to say, what have we learned? What have we learned today?
Well, we've learned that Matt Flynn was right, that whether what we end up with on Trump's cabinet is going to come down to whether or not any of the Republicans, quote, will stand up on their hind legs and call this out.
Yes. A favorite Matt Flynnism. That's very good. Yeah, that's good. What else we learned today? We learned that Mike Clemens, we already knew that, but we reiterated Mike Clemens is a great sports reporter. We thank him for being here. And we learned that Wisconsin will take on Arizona tonight in men's basketball. Broadcast starts at 7 p.m. You can hear it for free on the Civic Media app. And tomorrow it's Wisconsin hosting Oregon. Broadcast starts at 4:30. The Pack take on the Chicago Bears at 10 a.m. and noon kickoff then on Sunday. Thanks for joining us. Maggie Dawn is next. Have a great weekend. Whatever you're fighting for, whatever you believe in, do not give up. Keep banging your drum.
News from the center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Do you need some good news? I know I do. Next, I'll be joined by Terry Barr for what's good, local, and overlooked in Wisconsin.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.